Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Collision in Reeves County kills woman. Reeves County. A 79-year-old woman is dead following a two-vehicle collision. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, the wreck occurred at approximately 3:56 p.m. Monday along I-20 at the eastbound mile marker 47. Mary Susan Gano of Riesel was transported to Reeves Regional Hospital and pronounced dead by medical staff there. The preliminary information from the DPS reports revealed that a 2019 Kenworth T3, driven by a 60-year-old Midland man, was stopped and stationary eastbound in the left lane on I-20 near mile marker 47. Gano's vehicle, a 2023 Jeep Compass, was traveling eastbound in the right lane of IH-20 near mile marker 47. DPS reports confirm that the driver of the Jeep made a lane change to the left lane and struck the rear of the Kenworth. The driver of the Kenworth was recorded as Robert Raymond Lalem. Lalem was reported as not injured during this incident. This crash is currently under investigation. Oil report. Intelligent wellhead, ProFrac test, new data protocol. Intelligent wellhead systems and ProFrac have teamed up to test a new data protocol for hydraulic fracturing operations. The two companies have completed successful field tests of MQTT, message queuing telemetry transport, in partnership with an operator on a pair of two well pads in the Haynesville and on a three-well pad in the Permian Basin. A test on an additional three-well pad in the Haynesville is ongoing. Quote, as of June, we began testing with an operator in the Permian. Testing is going well, and we see this new protocol continuing to be implemented across all basins. End quote. Tracy Gray, Vice President, Strategy and Marketing with Intelligent Wellhead, told the Reporter Telegram by email. MQTT is designed to offer the safe and efficient transfer and visualization of well site data during hydraulic fracturing operations to enhance well site connectivity and improve data transmission. Quote, MQTT makes the data setup and ingestion process simpler, cheaper, faster, and more accurate. With MQTT, metadata, including the channel name for each data curve, can now be sent, unlike with other protocols. Also, instead of mapping just the serial order of data, the data channel name can now be mapped as well. No manual data entry is required, eliminating errors in data due to manual entry, end quote, Gray said. With MQTT, not only is the mapping process simpler, but it's also completed prior to the start of the job, so data ingestion begins at the start of the job. With the whole burden of channel mapping and data manipulation during the job is removed from the data van operator, she continued. That saves companies time and money. Once the job commences, data is now easily transmitted accurately and reliably, without being dependent on aligning channel order, and crews are now mapping based on previously agreed channels. Quote, this negates the issues brought on by changing channel names or channel order during the job. The process of manually entering, changing, or quality checking data is eliminated, significantly decreasing the time and cost of data manipulation. Enhanced data quality means added confidence in downstream operations. All data, including reports, analysis, and planning, are more reliable. Added trust between the operator, the service company, and the aggregator company bring new levels of assurance and added safety to well site operations, end quote, Gray said. ProFrac Services, a subsidiary of ProFrac Holdings, provides hydraulic fracturing services. Intelligent Wellhead Systems, a wholly owned subsidiary of Payson Systems, Inc., provides automation solutions with a focus on valve management solutions, digital controls, data management, and cloud-based solutions, and integrated well site management. LandBridge successfully completes IPO. With a successful initial public offering under its belt, Landbridge Company is prepared to move forward with developing the 220,000 surface acres it owns in the Delaware Basin. Quote, "We have great partners, that's why we went public," end quote, explained Jason Long, Chief Executive Officer, in a video call with the Reporter Telegram. Formed in 2021 by Five Point Energy LLC, an energy private equity firm, Landbridge manages its holdings to support oil and natural gas production and other industrial development. What's interesting about Landbridge is it holds a large contiguous position that also offers several attractive points for developers. One is water needed for cooling facilities such as data centers, he said. The company has been host to data centers and crypto mining in the last couple of years. Another is access to potential cheap energy with natural gas prices at the Waha Hub in Reeves County, turning negative 18 times this year. Landbridge Chairman David Capobianco estimated data centers, crypto miners, and battery storage tenants could take up to 2 billion cubic feet of natural gas, which Long said could benefit prices. Quote, "We're thinking behind the pipe solutions like gas-fired generators," end quote, Long said. Quote, "There's also a couple of solar projects we're looking at," end quote. There have been big opportunities arising the last 6 to 12 months, and the IPO helps focus investor attention on those opportunities, Long said. Quote, "We'll see more of those opportunities unfold," end quote, he said. In terms of the developing battery storage arena, he said the company is in the first innings of conversations with potential developers. Likewise, he said, the Delaware Basin is still in the early innings of development. One arena is management of the water produced alongside the oil and natural gas, Long said. That is something Landbridge's parent company, Waterbridge, where he also serves as co-chief executive officer, handles, he said. Landbridge debuted June 28th on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol LB. RRC launches major technology project. For more than a century, the Railroad Commission has overseen the state's oil and gas operations. In recent years, the agency has worked to ensure its operations are as modern as possible. In that effort, the commission has launched what it calls a significant technological advancement, the Lone Star, State Tracking and Reporting. The first Lone Star release allows operators to make online filings for Form P5. A spokesman for the agency told the Reporter Telegram by email that the P5 was the first release because, quote, "it's the first form required of an entity and refiled annually performing oil and gas operations in the state. It's filed by producers, pipeline operators, gatherers, and more to operate in Texas," end quote. Other forms associated with the P5 process can also be filed online through Lone Star. Form W-3C for certification of surface equipment removal for an inactive well, and Form W-3X, the application for an extension of deadline for plugging an inactive well. Lone Star gives operators the ability to monitor the P5 approval process online, fix any compliance issues related to filings in real time, and view records online. The project not only reduces the extensive paperwork that operators were once required to send, it also streamlines the day-to-day review process by commission staff. The spokesman wrote, "There are several aspects to Lone Star that make it a major technology project. Quote, not only is moving filings to an online format a significant function, but the commission is also taking large volumes of data off an antiquated mainframe system and moving it to modern, cloud-based platforms as part of Lone Star," end quote, he wrote. Future releases will include other oil and gas and environmental permitting processes. According to the agency spokesman, there is no set timeline yet for future releases, quote, but the commission is actively working on implementing Form P18, monthly skim oil/condensate report, and several forms associated with waste haulers, end quote.
Citgo auction faces a possible delay. The special master in charge of a court-ordered auction of Houston-based Citgo requested Friday the sale process be delayed. If granted, the motion would delay the auction originally scheduled for July 15th until September. Special Master Robert Pincus received, quote, several competitive bids, end quote. The Friday motion states, quote, and it is the Special Master's opinion that multiple bids are actionable, end quote. Pincus and his team said in the filing that they need more time to sift through bids they described as, quote, complex, end quote. The U.S. District Court in Delaware, where the case is being heard, has not identified the bidders. Quote, given the number of bids as well as the strength of those bids, the Special Master and his advisors require additional time to review bids, end quote, the filing states. The court may be buying time because the bids are weak, said Matthew Blair, Tudor Pickering Holtz, Managing Director of Refining, Chemicals, and Renewable Fuels. Blair has said from the start of the process that Citgo's refineries could attract higher bids if the court allowed them to be sold separately. Quote, we continue to think that the current strategy of trying to selling everything as one isn't going to go through, end quote, Blair said Monday during an interview. Quote, eventually, these will just be sold as separate deals, and that will generate more value for the shareholders, end quote. The court aims to use the proceeds from Venezuela-owned Citgo to pay back billions of dollars in debts owed by the Venezuelan government that have been mounting since it seized the foreign assets in 2007. Creditors targeted Citgo, which employs about 3,300 workers in the U.S., because it is the largest U.S. asset of the Venezuelan government and operates three top-tier refineries, including two along the Gulf Coast. Houston's ConocoPhillips is seeking to recover more than $11.8 billion through the process, court documents show, raising questions about how much of the more than $20 billion sought by Venezuela's creditors can reasonably be squeezed from Citgo. Two members of the so-called, quote, Citgo Six, end quote, Houston-based company employees who were lured to Venezuela and imprisoned in May joined the long line of people seeking a piece of the proceeds from the sale of its crown jewel. They are suing Citgo for what they claim was its complicity in their unjust capture, detainment, and torture in Venezuela. Abbott Patrick want to double power plant fund. Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said Monday they would seek to expand a taxpayer-backed program primarily funding low-interest loans to build natural gas power plants in Texas to $10 billion from $5 billion, quote, as soon as possible, end quote. The move comes in response to new estimates from the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the state's power grid operator, that the state could need 152 gigawatts of power in 6 years, roughly doubling the current record of 85.5 gigawatts. Though the projection has been public since April, there has been fresh concern among state leaders, including a sharp turn by some against the cryptocurrency industry, after ERCOT CEO Pablo Vegas spooked lawmakers last month with his testimony at legislative hearings on the grid in June. Quote, if the new estimate is correct, the updated numbers provided by Mr. Vegas call for an immediate review of all policies concerning the grid, end quote, Abbott and Patrick said in a joint statement. Voters in November approved a $10 billion package known as the Texas Energy Fund, meant to incentivize new on-demand generation, excluding battery storage, on the ERCOT grid, with $5 billion available in 2024 and 2025. Developers have submitted 125 notices of their intention to apply for $38.9 billion in financing for nearly 56 gigawatts of proposed generation, though not all may formally apply by the July 27th deadline. How much of the 152 gigawatts of projected demand will materialize is also uncertain, as some applications to connect to the ERCOT grid, such as from data centers, may be speculative. Critics of the Texas Energy Fund have said state leaders should focus on programs that reduce energy waste and incentivize energy conservation during times of peak demand, rather than gas plants that produce climate-warming emissions. Life Tributes, Christy Jo Fredenberg, 10/16/1962 to 6/29/2024. Christy Jo Fredenberg entered into the presence of the Lord on the 29th of June at the age of 61 in her home in Midland, Texas, surrounded by her loving family. She was born in Houston, Texas on October 16, 1962, and was a graduate of Midland Lee High School and the University of Texas. Christy is survived by her husband, Glenn Fradenberg, her children, Brian Shelburne, and his wife, Morgan, Matthew Shelburne and Sadie Lowers Shelburne, and her husband, Sean, her mother, Betty Bartosz Cervenka, and her five siblings, Joy Helping Bartosz, Jan Novosad Bartosz, Gil Gibb Bartosz Jr., Holly Sarkanella Bartosz, and Becky Vanderberry Bartosz. Glenn's children are Hill Fradenberg and his wife Taylor, son Holden Glenn, George Fradenberg and his wife Catherine Lane, sons John B. and Ellis, Anna Fradenberg Coleman, and her husband Brad, daughter Ellie Todd. She was preceded in death by her father, Gil Bartosz. A memorial service will be held on Wednesday, July 10th, 2024 at 2 o'clock p.m. at Stonegate Fellowship, 6000 West Wadley Avenue in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Tommy Strack, 2/19/1934 to 6/26/2024. Tommy Ryland Strack, a beloved wife, mother, grandmother, and friend, entered heaven on June 26, 2024, surrounded by her daughter and grandchildren. Born on February 19, 1934, to Al and Ethel Ryland in Detroit, Michigan. She leaves behind her children, Robert E. Strack of New Braunfels and Cheryl Strack Bryson of Dallas, and her two granddaughters, Addison Portell and Ryland Powell, along with her step-grandchildren, Drew Bryson and Adam Bryson. Lawrence Kenneth Ken Marks. Lawrence Kenneth Ken Marks, 90, of Midland, passed away July 2, 2024. The family will receive guests from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, July 10, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. A celebration of Ken's life will be at 2 o'clock p.m. Thursday, July 11, 2024, at Crestview Baptist Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Billie Jean Newcomb. Billie Jean Newcomb, 86, passed away on July 2, 2024, in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Services will be held on Friday, July 12, 2024, at 10 a.m. at Bastrop First Assembly of God, 609 Pecan Street, Bastrop, Texas, by Pastor Phil Woods. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Madison County Funeral Service of Huntsville, Arkansas. Lawrence Dean Osborne. Lawrence Dean Osborne, Shorty, passed away Wednesday, July 3, 2024, in Midland, Texas. Graveside services will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday, July 9, 2024, at Fairview Cemetery, 1620 North A Street in Midland. Services are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Community. Mainly Midland. HEB Military Care Packages, Ellen Newell Art Museum, McDonald Observatory Donation. Nominate your military hero for an HEB care package filled with Texas favorites. Details. HEB customers can nominate active duty military service members serving within the U.S. Armed Forces for care packages from HEB. HEB customers can nominate active duty military service members serving the country away from home, and HEB will send them a care package filled with HEB items. The first 1,000 active duty service members nominated will receive a care package filled with HEB favorites. Nominations are now open and will be accepted until 1,000 nominations are received. Visit heb.com/military-care-packages to nominate your military hero for them to receive a package filled with HEB goods. HEB partners will also handwrite a personal thank you message for each care package, adding a special touch for your service member. Quote, HEB proudly supports our nation's military, and as we commemorate Independence Day, we are delighted to send a taste of Texas to the brave military service members currently serving our country away from home, end quote, said Johnny Mojica, HEB Public Affairs Manager. This effort is one of more than 100 Independence Day celebrations HEB supports each year across Texas through its Operation Appreciation Program. Launched in 2013, HEB's Operation Appreciation aims at supporting and honoring active duty military service members, veterans, and their families. The program focuses on providing employment opportunities and partnering with military-focused nonprofits. Ellen Noel Art Museum to host Cultural Enhancement Project. Details. Ray Perryman of the Perryman Group plans to update the community on the economic impact of the Ellen Noel Art Museum's cultural enhancement. The presentation is slated for 10 a.m. Tuesday, July 9th at 4919 East University Boulevard in Odessa. The presentation will have coffee and pastries available. Brief speakers will also include Scott Murray, Aaron Hawley, and Chris Stanley. Steve Patton will lead hard hat tours of the renovations for those who wish to see the renovations and are wearing closed-toed shoes. There will also be a brief update on the renovation progress. McDonald Observatory announces generous gift of $4 million. Details. Recently, the Harry W. Bass Jr. Foundation gifted $4 million to the McDonald Observatory. The gift from the foundation will support updates to McDonald Observatory's Frank N. Bash Visitor Center and improve and expand the observatory's visitor experience. Quote, we are grateful for their investment in this Texas gem, end quote, said Taft Armendroff, director of McDonald Observatory. Quote, renovations in the Visitor Center translate into big impacts for our education and outreach programming, end quote. In a typical year, the space welcomes 75,000 guests and orients them to the science of astronomy and the observatory's contributions to the field. Inaugurated in 2002, the Frank N. Bash Visitor Center was built to serve the needs of increasing tourism at the site. The building it replaced was designed to accommodate only 20,000 people a year. First called the Texas Astronomy Education Center, it was renamed in 2006 to honor Frank N. Bash, the observatory's director from 1989 to 2003, and a champion of public outreach. Current exhibits share the history of the McDonald Observatory, core astronomical concepts, and how scientists study the universe. Though these exhibits are still relevant, major advances in scientific discovery have been made since they were first unveiled. New exhibits will add information about the abundance of planets outside our solar system, the characteristics and evolution of galaxies, the lives of stars, the mysteries of dark matter and dark energy, the giant Magellan telescope, currently under construction in Chile, and the new age of discovery this amazing instrument will unlock. Exhibit renovations are part of the observatory's broader goal to connect learners of all ages with life-changing astronomy and science experiences. Toward this purpose, it also plans to develop new films, create audio tours, renovate visitor spaces at the Harlan J. Smith and Hobby Eberle telescopes, and expand its outdoor public facilities. Work is already underway with the design and installation of the, quote, Preserving Dark Skies, end quote, exhibit in 2022, marking the first major update. The Harry W. Bass Jr. Foundation supports nonprofit organizations dedicated to science, education, the arts, and human services. The late Harry W. Bass Jr., after whom the foundation is named, ran an oil company, developed ski resorts in Colorado, and amassed one of the world's great coin collections. To donate to McDonald Observatory's Frank N. Bash Visitor Center renovation project, visit give.utexas.edu. Princesses Dazzle at Ladies' Tea Party. The third annual Ladies' Tea Party, hosted by Addie's Hope Adoption Agency, was fit for a princess. As attendees walked into the Bush Convention Center ballroom, the princess theme was brought to life as Belle greeted sponsors and their guests. Once inside, a beautifully lit, oversized tree adorned with teacups set the tone for the tea party decorations throughout the room. The teacups also doubled as a popular silent auction item. Other auction items included a Rockhounds ticket and memorabilia package, a tea dispenser, candles, paintings, necklaces, earrings, a basket full of tea flavors, and a kids' summer art basket. Many guests quickly got in line to buy cupcakes for their chance to win Kendra Scott or James Avery jewelry. For lunch, the chicken and waffles with a cinnamon syrup banana topping was a big hit. Trays full of fruit, cheese, and sandwich wraps along with a salad and a charcuterie board were also available. A hot water station with a variety of tea flavors was a huge hit. In keeping with the princess theme, centerpieces on each table range from a Cinderella carriage to a fairy tale spinning wheel. After everyone was seated, Holly Ann Petrie, the founder and executive director of Addie's Hope, told her story of why she started the organization. Jamie Poe, the organization's West Texas program coordinator, then highlighted the mission of Addie's Hope and talked about how the fundraiser helps accomplish that. After lunch, a countdown took place for those that purchased a cupcake to win the jewelry. After biting into it, the winner was the person who found edible sprinkles in the center of their cupcake. Bush Family Home celebrates 100th birthday of George H.W. Bush. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site celebrated what would have been the 100th birthday of former President George H.W. Bush earlier this month. Partygoers enjoyed hamburgers on the lawn of the president's former home on Ohio Avenue, along with live music and a crazy sock competition. The site's executive director, Troy Gray, welcomed all those in attendance and gave an overview of the summer activities that the organization is hosting, including the Thursday Summer Reading Program, with that next date being Thursday, July 18th at 5:30 p.m. and will feature a dog from Grand Companions. Another upcoming event he mentioned is the birthday celebration of George W. Bush, which will be held during the day on Saturday, July 6th.
Voices of Veterans. Private First Class Buster Lee Bailey shares his story of service in the U.S. Army Air Force. Texas Land Commissioner and Veterans Land Board, VLB Chairwoman Don Buckingham, M.D., is proud to introduce the next installment of the series highlighting the VLB's Voice of Veterans Oral History Program. In this episode, we hear the story of Private First Class PFC Buster Lee Bailey. Bailey was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. He enlisted in the U.S. Army Air Forces in 1946 and attended boot camp at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. After training to become a radio operator, he was shipped out to Hawaii. He would track the flight of distressed planes to ensure they arrived at their intended bays safely. On July 8, 1947, he was in a C-46 transport plane when an accident occurred. During takeoff at Palmyra Island, about 100 miles south of Hawaii, the engine threw the propellers and they came through the plane, and one of them, if it had been 6 inches to one side, it'd have missed me. 6 inches to the other side, it'd have killed me. Bailey lost his right hand and right leg in the crash. He only became emotional when discussing his mother finding out about the accident. When asked what message he would like to leave for future generations, he said, "Watch out," and began to laugh, showing a bit of the attitude that helped him through a terrible ordeal. Afterward, he said earnestly, "Keep America free, strong, and free." New exhibit takes visitors through the thrill of victory, agony of defeat. For many people, sports can be more than an activity. It's almost a religion. That can be evident from the many different athlete expressions in the Ella Noel Art Museum's current exhibition, The Perfect Shot, Walter Yoss Jr., and the Art of Sports Photography. The exhibition, which illustrates the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, is currently on display at the Ella Noel Art Museum's temporary location at the Presidential Archives until August 11th. Museum hours are 12 to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday and 12 to 8 p.m. Thursdays. The museum is closed on Mondays and holidays. Over his extensive career, photographer Walter Yoss Jr. has worked with some of the greatest athletes of the past 60 years, capturing the moments of triumph and defeat that athletes and non-athletes know well. The exhibition is organized into 5 sections of universal emotions: anticipation, perseverance, triumph, disappointment, and reflection. These sections allow visitors to find the common threads that transcend athletic genres and athletes. This exhibit takes you through 5 different emotions typically related to both humanity and in sports. Ellen Owell, Associate Curator and Registrar Colton Manchester, said, "Looking through those 5 emotions, Walter gives us an opportunity to feel the emotions that we had when we played sports, but also the universal human emotions." Born in 1943, Yoss cultivated his passion for photography from an early age. He shot his first roll of film at the age of 16 during a New York Giants game with his father. A few short years later, he landed his first cover for Sports Illustrated in 1963. Yoss established himself as a prolific photographer for the magazine and photographed the first 53 Super Bowls. His work was featured in over 300 covers. The significance of this exhibit: Walter Yoss Jr. has been in the world of photography forever, Manchester said. Everyone loves him, and his photos have been on magazine covers since he was 17. Being able to bring this to Odessa is great, considering this community has a rich sports tradition, especially with football. It's amazing to share the beauty and the work of Walter Yoss with the community. Some of his famous photos that are featured in the exhibit include baseball legend Sandy Koufax, Michael Jordan, and one that Dallas Cowboys fans probably would like to forget, the famous The Catch photo of San Francisco 49ers receiver Dwight Clark in the NFC Championship game in January 1982 at Candlestick Park. Manchester said the exhibit has received a positive reception from guests. "It's been great," Manchester said. "We had an older couple that came to see this exhibit, and they were around to see some of these moments while they were happening. To see locals come in and connect with these moments in time is incredible. The exhibit is not just for those who are sports fanatics or those interested in sports photography. This isn't an exhibit purely about sports photography," Manchester said. "Even if you don't feel passionate about certain sports or sports photography, you're going to find things to connect to this exhibit. This is art in the way that displays human emotion. It's something we all can relate to. If you go, what? The Perfect Shot, Walter Yoss Jr. and the Art of Sports Photography. When on display until August 11th, where Ellen Noel Art Museum at the Presidential Archives."
This week in Midland County history, a noteworthy event that shaped our past, July 7th through the 13th, by Midland Times, July 8th, 2024. This week in Midland County history, on July 13, 1963, Anthony Jerome Spud Webb was born. Anthony Jerome Spud Webb, born July 13, 1963, in Dallas, Texas, is a former professional basketball player known for defying height expectations at 5'6". Webb's journey from Midland College to the NBA included winning the 1986 NBA Slam Dunk Contest, a defining moment in his career. After playing for teams like the Atlanta Hawks and Sacramento Kings, Webb's impact extends to his role as the president of basketball operations for the Texas Legends since 2010, contributing significantly to the sport's development. Webb's legacy lies not only on his court, in his on-court achievements, but also his continued influence on the game's future through his leadership role with the Legends. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center to host Beatles-centric show, by Midland Times, July 6th, 2024. Beatlemania will be relived in the Permian Basin for one night only when the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center hosts the Fab Four, the ultimate tribute, on August 23rd. The Beatles-centric show is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. with doors opening to guests an hour prior. According to the Wagner Noel PAC's website, tickets start from $25 and run up to $65, including fees. All seats are reserved. It is important to note that all attendees, including lap children, infants, and babies, will require a ticket for entry to all ticketed performances. Guests will be treated to a retrospect of the Beatles catalog provided by Emmy Award-winning tribute band The Fab Four, which takes its name from the nickname for the iconic British quartet. According to the Fab Four's Facebook page, the band distinguishes itself from the other Beatles tribute acts with their attention to detail. The Beatles were founded in Liverpool, England, and consisted of John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. Responsible for the British invasion in the U.S. nearly 70 years ago, the Beatles were known for their larger-than-life impact on music and pop culture. According to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's website, the band has hailed as a generational favorite. For more information on the show or questions about tickets, please contact the Wagner Noel box office at 1-800-514-3849. Midland Entrepreneur, The Struggles in Opening the Academy Were a Blessing in Disguise, by Midland Times, July 9, 2024. Kendra Nurkanen, the owner of the Permian Basin Ninja Academy, said facing setbacks in the Midland entrepreneurial challenge and dealing with personal grief over her father's passing led her to believe that starting her business later was a blessing in disguise. Nurkanen was a guest on a recent episode of the Best of Midland podcast. "It actually took a lot to open this," said Nurkanen on a recent edition of the Best of Midland podcast. "I started the Midland Entrepreneurial Challenge. I made it through phase two. What happened was my dad passed away on December 9th. I got an email from the MEC about not making it to phase two in January. I remember getting the email and just sitting there and crying, mostly because it was still grief-driven." Nurkanen said, "I thought I was letting myself down, letting my dad down. So last year, I prayed about everything. I thought, okay, this was a blessing in disguise because I had gone through my first year of grief trying to run or own a business. I don't think it would have been successful." Nurkanen owns Midland's first Ninja Warrior training facility, the Permian Basin Ninja Academy. Best of Midland podcast is hosted by Ryan Shuchuk and Tara Avery. It is an extension of the broader Best of Midland program, which aims to support small local businesses by showcasing them and the people behind them. Their website lists top businesses and upcoming live events happening in the area. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Times. Midland Memorial Hospital earns award for meeting sustainability goals, by Midland Times, July 7, 2024. Midland Memorial Hospital, MMH, has been awarded the American Society for Healthcare Engineering's ASHE Energy to Care Award. This accolade is presented to facilities that meet sustainability goals, supporting healthy environments and communities over time. According to a July 3rd press release, MMH will be represented by Chuck Brooks, its Director of Hospital Engineering, at the ASHE Healthcare Facilities Innovation Conference in Anaheim, California, on July 24th. Brooks will accept the award on behalf of the Permian Basin Hospital. MMH Vice President of Facility Services, Abraham Behill, said in the release that the hospital considers it an honor to receive the Energy to Care Award. MMH is proud to be at the forefront of carbon footprint reduction, Behill stated. According to the release, MMH is one of the 102 participating facilities recognized this year. Established in 2006, the Energy to Care program has boasted more than 4,400 participating facilities since 2010 and accumulated combined savings of over $550 million earmarked for patient care. The accomplishment comes a little more than a month after MMH was recognized by Modern Healthcare magazine as one of the best places to work in healthcare for the second consecutive year, Midland Times reported. As per MMH's website, it first opened its doors in 1950 as the sole nonprofit hospital in Midland County. Over nearly 75 years, the hospital has grown from a modest 75-bed facility to a substantial 546-bed patient tower. Permian Strategic Partnership urges community action for TxDOT funding, by Midland Times, July 6, 2024. The Permian Strategic Partnership, PSP, has called on the Texas Permian Basin community to participate in securing financial support from the Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT. The initiative comes in response to TxDOT's draft 2025 Unified Transportation Program, UTP, which outlines a decade-long plan with $3.9 billion earmarked for the Odessa District. The UTP projects are expected to significantly benefit both residential and commercial traffic, enhancing accessibility, travel experiences, and road safety. PSP emphasizes the importance of community involvement in this process. As proud residents of the Permian, we have a crucial stake in securing its financial support, stated PSP representatives. They noted that the Texas Transportation Commission is accepting public comments until August 5, 2024, urging community members to voice their support for the funding. Further information and participation links are available through PSP channels. Entertainment events this week in Midland County, July 7th through the 13th. By Midland Times, July 8, 2024. Catch the best entertainment Midland County has to offer this week. The following entertainment events are scheduled to take place this week. Monday, July 8th, event, Adult Coloring Group Meeting, Centennial. Midland County Centennial Library, 3 to 4:30 p.m. Event, Bilingual Storytime, Midland County Centennial Library, 4:30 to 5 p.m. Event, Teen, Tween, and Broderie, Downtown, Midland County Public Library, 5 to 6 p.m. Event, Paige Turner's Book Club Meeting, Centennial, Midland County Centennial Library, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 9th, event, Needlepoint Group Meeting, Centennial, Midland County Centennial Library, 1 to 2 p.m. Event, STEM Summer Workshop, Lego Robotics, Museum of the Southwest, 1 to 4 p.m. Event, Knit a Bit, Midland County Centennial Library, 3:15 to 4:15 p.m. Wednesday, July 10th, event, STEM Summer Workshop, Lego Robotics, Museum of the Southwest, 1 to 4 p.m. Event, Burgers and Bands, Riley's Bar and Grill, 7 to 11 p.m. Thursday, July 11th. Event, Theater Thursday, Sibley Nature Center, 12 to 1 p.m. Event, STEM Summer Workshop, Lego Robotics, Museum of the Southwest, 1 to 4 p.m. Event, Thursday Night Dinner and Live Music, Cafe at the Gardens, 5 to 9 p.m. Friday, July 12th. Event, Family Fridays, Museum of the Southwest, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Event, STEM Summer Workshop, Lego Robotics, Museum of the Southwest, 1 to 4 p.m. Event, Teen Leadership Board, Midland County Centennial Library, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Event, Movies in the Park, Trolls Band Together, PG, Midland Parks and Recreation Department, 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday, July 13th. Event, Storytime, Dinosaurs in Trucks, Because Hey, Why Not? Museum of the Southwest, 11 to 11:30 a.m. Chevron to donate $100,000 for New Mexico wildfires relief. By Trevor Hawes, editorial director. Chevron is making a $100,000 contribution toward wildlife relief and recovery efforts in New Mexico. According to a news release, Chevron will donate $75,000 to the Greatest Need Impact Fund for Otero and Lincoln counties. A $25,000 donation will be made to the Mescalero Apache Tribe, a federally recognized tribal government whose reservation is located just south of Ruidoso. Through our legacy companies, Chevron has been a proud community partner in New Mexico for more than 100 years, Daryl Carriger, Chevron's manager for Delaware Basin Operations in New Mexico, said in a release. Chevron is committed to supporting first responders, tribal and local governments, and nonprofit organizations as they work to contain these fires and address impacts across Lincoln and Otero counties. As of Sunday, July 7th, the South Fork fire was 89% contained, according to wildfires.gov. It had burned 17,569 acres. The Salt Fire had burned 7,939 acres and was 99% contained. Command of these fires has been handed over to local authorities. Hatch recalls 1 million power adapters sold with baby sound machines. Associated Press, New York. Due to a shock hazard, a California company is recalling nearly 1 million power adapters sold with sound machines marketed to help infants and young children sleep. The plastic surrounding the AC power adapter that was supplied with some of Hatch's Rest first-generation sound machines can come off when removing the product from an outlet, leaving its prongs exposed. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission said that increases risk of electric shock. There have been 19 reports of the plastic housing surrounding the adapter coming off, including 2 instances of consumers getting a minor electric shock, the CPSC said in its Wednesday recall notice. The recall is specific to power adapters supplied by Jiangsu Shenyang Electron Company, Hatch said in a company announcement, adding that it is no longer sourcing from Jiangsu Shenyang for its products. Palo Alto, California-based Hatch also noted that the issue is only with the adapter accompanying the sleeping machines, not the device itself. Only a replacement power adapter is issued. The Hatch Rest first-generation device is safe to continue using, the company wrote. In the meantime, consumers in possession of the faulty power adapters are urged to stop using them. The now recalled adapters, which were manufactured in China, can be identified by their model number CYAP05050100U. The adapters were sold with Rest first-generation sound machines on Hatch.com, as well as major retailers including Target and Walmart, between January 2019 and September 2022. Some were also sold on Amazon through May 2024. The machines produce white noise or lullabies to help babies and young children sleep, and also have features including a nightlight. An estimated 909,400 of them were purchased in the U.S. and over 44,000 in Canada. Hatch is offering a free replacement adapter to impacted customers and says it's contacting all registered owners directly. Consumers can learn more about registering for the recall on the company's website. Midland's Celebration of Arts returns July 12th through the 14th by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Are you wild about art? Wheel throwing, jewelry makers, painters, and photographers will take over Midland's downtown scene on July 12th through the 14th at Celebration of Arts, COA. COA returns to Midland for its 40th year to highlight local and visiting artists with its theme Wild About Art at Busch Convention Center. The Arts Council of Midland organizes the event annually, and it's the longest running event in downtown Midland. Danny Haleva, the executive director of the Arts Council of Midland, said that this year's artists from Midland College will be demonstrating wheel throwing, which is a pottery technique used to shape round ceramics using a potter's wheel. Attendees might also get a chance to try wheel throwing themselves. Artists apply to participate in the event and can then be accepted into the show. Attendees can shop original art, watch live demonstrations, check out artist displays, and even listen to artists share their stories. There will also be food trucks available on site. Over 50 artists will participate in the 2024 show, including some Midlanders. Tally Crago, which will show jewelry. Jared Inskeep will show photography. Denise Malm will show mixed media art. And Cheryl Roosh will show paintings. The 2024 Distinguished Arts in Midland's James Gaiety, known as Jim, he is a practicing geologist who is inspired by the earth and how the species that live on the planet interact with it. Jim's art medium is photography, and he took several photography classes at Midland College from 1995 to 2002. We hope that people can come out and support local and visiting artists, Holova said. The COA is one of the biggest fundraisers for the Art Council. COA kicks off his event on Friday with a premiere party. The party is a ticketed event and will feature appetizers, drinks, and a chance to explore the art early. There will be live art demonstrations, music, and silent auction to benefit the Arts Council of Midland. Alberto Madrid and Sergio Turin Jr. will be performing live music. On Saturday and Sunday, the event is free and open to the public. COA features art through various forms of media such as pottery, ceramics, jewelry, and sculpture, drawing, paintings, and more. Saturday night will feature live music by Roasted Crow and Midland, Texas Rhythm and Strings Quartet. 2 tea events will also be hosted on Sunday. The Tea and Me Party is for children ages 5 through 12 and costs $25 for one adult and one child. Hats, gloves, and ties are suggested for attire. The event will feature tea, lemonade, and cupcakes. Afternoon tea will be available for adults for 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Individual tickets cost $60 and include access to general admission tables, tea, refreshments, and suites. Hats and gloves are recommended attire for ladies, and bow ties are encouraged for gentlemen. Francesca Florence will be performing. Reservations for tea time are encouraged by Wednesday at 5 p.m. and are available online. Tickets are still available for Friday's party. This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for July 9th, 2024, Midland Memorial Takes Strides in Using Less Energy by Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. Midland Memorial Hospital has received the Energy to Care Award from the American Society for Healthcare Engineering, ASHE. Healthcare facilities are one of the largest consumers of utilities. Abraham Bayhill, MMH Vice President of Facility Services, told the Reporter-Telegram, "It's a 24-hour operation with lots of rooms using power. One way the hospital consumes less energy is by using an HVAC system that relies on chilled water instead of Freon to keep rooms cool. With Freon, you have to have an air conditioning unit in every single room, kind of like what you see in a hotel room," Bayhill said. "You also have the added cost of replacing a lot of filters with a system like that." Bayhill said the hospital is required to bring fresh air into a room, not just recirculate old air. "You can't do that with a Freon system." A major power saver that complements the HVAC system is being able to automate climate room by room. "Gone are the days of nudging a thermostat a few degrees hotter or cooler. We can now see flows, temperatures, and pressures in each room," Bayhill said. "Plus, computerized logic systems for HVAC control applications means HVAC isn't running when a room is not in use. A sensor determines when a room is empty and the airflow is diminished. When someone goes into a room, the sensor sees them and turns the HVAC system back on. HVAC automation also alerts MMH crews when something goes wrong so they can address it more quickly. Being mindful of energy use has been a decade-long effort for the hospital. In 2014, the hospital checked its Environmental Protection Agency score against other hospitals. MMH found its score was really low, 14 out of 100. In 2016, after making several changes, we received an Energy Star Award, which requires a score of 75 or higher, Bayhill said. A major upgrade the hospital made in 2020 was converting lighting fixtures from old fluorescent and incandescent bulbs to LED. LEDs provide an energy savings, but these bulbs last a lot longer. So that means fewer times that we need to disturb a patient to get a light changed, Bayhill said. MMH is one of the 102 participating facilities to receive the Energy to Care Award in 2024, representing 2.3% of facilities enrolled in the program, according to a news release from the hospital. Award winners demonstrate a 10% or greater reduction in energy use intensity over the previous year, or 15% over 2 years. Vehicle recovered from duck pond after accident by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. A vehicle was recovered from the pond at Wadley Barron Park on Monday morning, according to the City of Midland. Two juveniles were involved in the accident, which occurred about 6:30 a.m. A 17-year-old female was driving a Lincoln MKZ sedan southbound on B Street when the vehicle drove over the curb and into the duck pond. City officials and local wrecker service removed the fully submerged vehicle about 9:10 a.m., the city said. The driver of the vehicle attempted to flee the scene but was located about a block away, per the Midland Police Department. Both juveniles were treated for minor injuries. Americans split over whether Trump should face prison by Bill Barrow, Associated Press. Washington. Americans are about evenly split on whether former President Donald Trump should face prison time for his recent felony conviction on hush money charges, according to a new poll from the APNORC Center for Public Affairs Research. Among U.S. adults, 48% say the former president and presumptive Republican nominee should serve time behind bars, and 50% say he should not. About 8 in 10 Democrats think Trump should face prison time, while independents are divided. About half, 49% of independents say he should, and 46% say he should not. Most Republicans believe that Trump was mistreated by the legal system and say he should not face jail time. Democrats, conversely, are generally confident that the prosecutors, the judge, and members of the jury treated Trump fairly as a defendant. The results underscore the partisan divide in opinions about the case, which was the first brought against a current or former U.S. president. Both Trump and Democratic President Joe Biden have made the trial central to how they campaigned to their respective bases. Biden frequently pointing out that Trump became the first former president to be convicted of a felony, Trump arguing that Democrats orchestrated the case against him for political purposes. Trump's sentencing was delayed from Thursday, 3 days before the Republican National Convention opens, to September at the earliest, when early voting in multiple states will already be underway. "I thought it was all a sham to begin with," said Dolores Meja, a 74-year-old Republican in Peoria, Arizona, who has been closely following the trial. I wasn't surprised when he got convicted because the court was in New York, a very blue state. It seemed like it was thoroughly stacked against him. A small but notable slice of Republicans have a different view from the rest of their party. The poll found that 14% of Republicans approve of Trump's conviction, while 12% believe he should spend time behind bars. I knew he had a big ego and questionable values when I voted for him the first time in 2016, but I thought the mantle of the presidency would be a humbling experience for him, and I was wrong, said Lee Gerstenberger, a Pennsylvania Republican who said he agreed with jurors' finding in the New York case and believes Trump should spend at least some time behind bars. I could not be more disappointed in his conduct, both in office and out of office, the 71-year-old retiree said. There are plenty of Americans who have spent time behind bars for lesser offenses. President Trump should not be treated any differently. About 4 in 10 U.S. adults are extremely or very confident that Trump has been treated fairly by either the jurors, the judge, or the prosecutors. Slightly less than half, 46%, approve of the conviction in the case, in line with the AP NORC poll conducted in June, while about 3 in 10 disapprove and 1/4 are neutral. Some Americans do not believe Trump should be in prison, but reject his arguments that he's been treated unfairly by the justice system. I don't think the particular crime deserves time, said Christopher Smith, a 43-year-old independent in Tennessee. I see what he did, lying on business records because of an affair, as more of a moral crime, Smith said, explaining that he believes prison should be a punishment for crimes that involve a convicted person actively harming another person. The poll found that Americans are less divided about another recent high-profile case. Last month, Biden's son, Hunter Biden, was convicted of 3 felonies in federal court for lying about drug use when purchasing a gun. 6 in 10 U.S. adults approve of Hunter Biden's conviction, with much smaller political differences. About 6 in 10 Democrats approve, as do around 7 in 10 Republicans. About 6 in 10 U.S. adults believe Hunter Biden should be sentenced to serve time in prison because of his conviction in this case, with Republicans slightly more likely than Democrats to agree that prison time is warranted. Crossing Guard's Wildcatter Trail are topics for City Council by Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. City Council will meet Tuesday for its first meeting of July. Here's a quick preview of items on the agenda for their meeting, which will be held at 10 a.m. in City Council Chambers at 300 North Lorraine Street. Management of crossing guards. Council members will vote whether to award All City Management Services, ACMS, a contract to manage crossing guards for the city. This service is slated to cost $839,710.80 annually. Crossing guards are at 54 sites near schools around Midland. ACMS is headquartered in Santa Fe Springs, California. Fire station roof. Council will vote on ratifying a contract with Tommy Klein Construction for the roofing project for Fire Station 8. The city is requested a change order for an additional $23,176,038, bringing the project total to $119,854,082. The additional funding is to address rotten roof decking that was discovered. Groundwater treatment. The city recommends awarding a contract to True Clear Water Solutions for advanced groundwater treatment in the amount of $1.44 million. The funds are available in the Utilities Fund unappropriated fund balance. TrueClear is looking to use its advanced molecular oxidation system to treat groundwater for the city. Starfighter contract. MDC awaits council members' approval for a memorandum of understanding with Starfighter Space Texas. If passed, the resolution would reimburse starfighters in the amount of $237,000 for the transportation of a Lockheed F-104 Starfighter aircraft and 2 jet engines from Kennedy Space Center to Midland. Stadium rental agreement. City Council will decide whether to finalize a contract with Midland Independent School District over new lease terms for Astound Broadband Stadium. The MISD Board of Trustees approved the terms at its June meeting, the centerpiece of which is raising the rent to $150,000 for 2025 and adding $15,000 in subsequent years up to 2031. The Wildcatter Trail, will be closer to reality upon council approval of an advanced funding agreement. The city's estimated share for this hike and bike trail project is $924,374. The total project is estimated to cost about $5 million. Boards and commissions appointees. City Council member will vote on a handful of appointees to the city's various boards and commissions. Firefighters' pension. Council will receive a presentation from the city on the Midland Fire Department's Relief and Retirement Fund. This is a presentation on discussion only, thus no action will be taken. In June, City Council held a special meeting that included an audit of the fund and discussion of a path forward to rectify the funding shortfall. Code of Ethics. City Council will decide whether to amend the city's Code of Ethics.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.